Hey folks, welcome back. Tom McNew again coming to you from the friendly confines of St. Luke Catholic Church. And you know, you chastised me last time about using plural and possessive.
No, we just one St. Luke.
Right, there is only one St. Luke. And I got to looking around, you know, and it's like nearly every single one of the churches in the diocese are singular. They're not possessive. They're not plural. But we all make that mistake. Yeah. I think all of us. Anyway.
I was at a church at St. Joseph. He'd answer the phone, St. Joseph? I said, you're not St. Joseph. But no, people do that. The only is maybe St. Mary's. Sometimes people will say St. Mary's. But a lot of times the churches that are called St. Mary's are St. Mary of the Assumption, maybe right. St. Mary's of the Annunciation. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. There's an identifier.
Yeah, the Immaculate Conception of.
In our listening area, there's about 8 different St. Mary churches. Mm-hmm. St. Mary of most of them are, and then there's about 6 or 7 different St. Joseph churches.
There is.
So I always have to. So but there's one and only one St. Luke.
That's right. There is only, and the whole diocese with the only St. Luke. You know, you mentioned before that we started the show that your wife was from Chicago too.
Yeah.
Okay. So Chicago, believe it or not, for a long time was peculiar because they had like 250 parishes or did at one point. But they had a tradition where you couldn't name 2 churches the same name.
Wow.
They weren't. So we all went to churches in different parts of the city with weird names. I went to St. Walter's, but I was baptized at St. Marceline's. And my mother went to St. Jarlath, and my father went to St. Mel.
St. Mel.
St. Mel.
What is he the patron?
I have the slightest idea. And all these churches had these bizarre out. And then you come to Austin, it's 17 churches, St. Mary's.
St. Joseph.
Or St. Mary's. And St. You know, it's 2 St. Louis's and... Yeah, it's a few St. John's and St. Peter, but no, in Chicago, there were these bizarre St. Aloysius Gonzaga, those are the Jesuits, St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Francis Xavier, and every kind of the Blessed Mother and every one of her titles.
Yeah.
So, that's
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, folks, if you are just joining us for the first time and you missed our last couple of episodes, what we're doing is... we're kind of walking through our catechism, and we're focusing right now on the Ten Commandments. In the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about the first commandment. We spent a couple of weeks talking about it. It's pretty important. So we're going to jump into the second commandment. And for those of you that are following along in your catechism, we are on page 518, paragraph 2142. Father, just rip the Band-Aid off here, and let's jump in.
All right. Yeah. Again, it has footnote 72, says it's in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. I keep pointing back to that.
That's right.
The list is on 2 separate parts of the Bible, slightly different, but a different emphasis, and it is a big deal. You don't take the name of your Lord God in vain. Now, in our culture, in 2025, God at least was saying that, 2025, I think for most of us, we tend to just think that don't say OMG.
Yeah.
Don't say OMG. You know, you bump your elbow, OMG. But I think it's much more profound than that. I mean, for the Jewish people, for the people this was delivered to, these commandments, they called put a hedge around it. Have you ever heard of that?
What does that mean,
okay.
Put a hedge around it?
Yeah, so like right out here in some of our buildings, you'll see like an electrical cable come down to the ground, mm-hmm. and it has a fence around it because they don't want you to touch it. You ever seen that?
Sure, yeah.
But also they have a hedge around it of bushes.
Okay.
What's that for? Well, it's just an extra layer.
Protection.
A protection, a reminder, because they were so afraid of using God's name, and for them it was Yahweh.
Right.
You wouldn't use God's name except in a sacred, to use a blaspheme, it was a great sin, so they would put other words, you know, outside of it, Elohim, Adonai, or just Lord. But they would protect that so much because it was so sacred. God's name was sacred. He only used it. Only the high priest would say it once a year inside the temple during this, you know, during the Passover.
But that's why we see, especially in the Old Testament, when it refers to God, that most of our translations nowadays have the word Lord. Instead, in all caps.
Yeah. They'll have Lord or something else because it would just keep a fear of God, an awe of God, because a name, when you call someone by their name, it presupposes a familiarity.
Yeah.
When you say someone, even when kids call you by your first name, you're like, hey, we don't have, I'm Mr. McNew. Yeah. You don't call me. We're not that close. Yeah. And then Jesus comes along and says things like, God is Father, Abba, to make him closer. Mm-hmm. But also, if you talk to any rabbi, so let's go back to the rabbis here.
Yeah.
Any rabbi, not any rabbi, but I talked to a rabbi about this. He released I heard him on the radio, but I also got his commentary on Genesis and Exodus, on the Pentateuch, the first five books. Mm-hmm. And he said that this commandment was a sin against, by using God's name to do evil. Like under the banner of God, you kill. Or under the banner of God, I do this in the name of the Lord, and they steal or pillage. Mm-hmm. That was one of the great sins of the Israelites, when he would tell them, when you go in there and you defeat the Amalekites or the but don't be taking their stuff. Don't be stealing stuff. Don't be, because now you're doing sin in my name. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Don't do that. So for them, that was about doing things in the name of God that were evil.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm doing this. I'm pillaging. I'm raping. I'm murdering, all for the sake of God. He said, hey, don't bring my name into this.
Yeah.
However, too, it also manifests. Scott Hahn does a great, this, he has a book called, I think it's called I Swear to God. Mm. It's about the danger of taking oaths. And this manifests at when you're on the stand and they say, raise your hand, put your hand on the Bible. I swear, tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. What are you doing there? You're taking a sacred oath. You're bringing God into it. And oaths carry blessings when you keep them, and they carry curses when you defile them. Mm. And
I think that's the part a lot of people forget.
Yeah, when you go against oaths, and, you know, you and I took a couple of oaths in our life when we made vows to our state and life, to your wife, to the church. But you shouldn't do that offhandedly.
Yeah.
And when you bring God into these frivolous, you know, when you talk to someone, hey, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are playing, and I swear to God they're going to win. Don't do that. You just defile. You bring him into something.
Yeah.
Or if you, this hit me not too long ago in the parking lot of HEB over here.
Uh-huh.
You know, people who are looking for money will come up and use the same lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people drive up here. Hey, can I? My dad is in Dallas, dying at the hospital. Can you give me a few bucks? No, he's not. Come on, man. You know, you're not. Can I have some gas? No, you're not. So this woman came up to me in the parking lot at night at HEB, and she goes, I need to buy a ticket. They always want a ticket to a bus, for a bus ticket. Yeah. Can I get some money to buy a ticket to bus to go to Dallas to my mother's in the hospital? And the first thing I said was, you really should come up with something better than that. That
was played out.
That hook has lost its worm. That hook has lost its worm. You're telling me I'm going to give you $20. You're going to go by the bus station. Wait till it opens in the morning, and then take it. And she goes, I swear to God. I said, you really shouldn't say that. Yeah. Don't bring God into this. No, I swear to God, you did it again. Yeah. And you expect him to testify on your behalf, and now you make God a liar. That actually is the promises 20 in paragraph 2147.
Oh, yeah.
Promises made to other in God's name engage the divine honor, fidelity, truthfulness, and authority. They must be respected in justice. To be unfaithful to them is to misuse God's name and in some way to make God out to be a liar. Well, that's only bad.
Yeah.
You don't have what it takes to, you know, people say, on my mother's grave. I swear on my mother's grave. You don't have authority over that. You sure as heck don't have authority over the name of God. And if you're calling him to testify to this, if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough, because that's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work out and you defile this, it brings curses. And that's not good.
And that's, I want to back up just a little bit. And you were talking about the Israelites moving into the Holy Land. And and I'm going to play devil's advocate here with you just for a minute. So reference what you made was, you know, to using God's name in an act of war. And so...
of unjust war.
Unjust war. Oh, yeah. So a lot of non-Catholics like to levy that charge against us in reference to the Crusades.
Oh yeah.
And we could spend days and weeks you know, talking about the Crusades, but how does that mesh in here with
war? Well, you're right, we could talk about
it. And there's some aspects of the Crusades. I fully admit there are aspects of the Crusades that you know, that crossed that line.
Oh, sure. When they
Antioch
Constantinople, when they sacked Constantinople.
Yeah.
But there is such a thing as just war.
Sure.
There is such a thing as just war. And I think it's okay to look at the Crusades now and then. There's a great book out called The Glory of the Crusades.
Joe Heschmeyer.
Is it Heschmeyer?
I believe it's Heschmeyer.
I don't know if it's him. Maybe it is. But anybody who brings that up, first and foremost, you could tell that right away, they haven't done their homework.
Yeah.
You don't know anything about the Crusades, do you? We entered into that because the Eastern Christians asked us to.
Sure.
Please help us. We're being pummeled by the Ottoman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And when those armies came, they gave up their living in France and Spain and living in England all the way to the Middle East, you know, where it's not green sometimes. And one of the questions is, were they welcomed by the Eastern Orthodox Christians? Not always. A lot of them knew they would never go back. And they did dumb things. But if it wasn't for the Crusades, Europe, I think, would be Muslim. If
much,
it wasn't...
much different.
Oh, much different. And if
and
they
arguably
were,
so would the Americas.
Yeah, very much so. And that was a defensive war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sure, they were doing things that we would say... But it's like chronological snobbery. You know, if you would have lived then, would you have just laid down and let the Ottomans run you over? I don't think you would have. You would have done things differently. There's one thing. There's one, a crusade general. Can't remember his name. But he had taken hostage 6,000 Muslims, you know, from the Ottoman Empire. He didn't know what to do with them. Couldn't feed them anymore.
Yeah.
So he killed them all.
Mm.
Now that's grisly.
Yeah.
That's grisly. But he also didn't want to release them back because then
they turn around.
So
again.
What do you?
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's easy to judge that because you're not in it. Mm-hmm. You live here. You
from
sit
the
on,
lens of 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Later.
You sit in your with your Starbucks coffee in front of your computer, and never have to do that. But Who wrote The Glory of Crusades?
Steve Weidenkopf.
Yeah, he's a historian.
I stand corrected. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right genre, wrong author. But anyway.
But I think, if the Spaniards, you know, Ferdinand had all they wouldn't have driven off France. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, Spain was Muslim. It was. And we could talk about Islam here, but it is strange that those who criticize us when the Crusades, you want to go over to Iraq or Saudi Arabia? You want to walk around, ma'am, without your hijab on?
Mm-hmm.
If you are a member of a alphabet community,
You
know what they're going to do to you?
And maybe we'll have to come.
We'll have to come
when
back
we get
to
done
that.
With this, when
in
we get done with
what
the
they
commandments,
do
we'll come
oftentimes
back to
in the name of God.
I think... that would be an interesting topic.
It would.
So, yeah. Okay. But, so you mentioned promises, and there's kind of two other aspects.
Yeah, blasphemy. So we'll go ahead. Blasphemy directly opposes the second man, consists in uttering against God inwardly and outwardly words of hatred, reproach, defiance, and speaking ill of God, failing to respect toward him in one's speech, and misusing God's name. And St. James called, who blasphemes in honorable name of Jesus, by which we are called. And to blaspheme Jesus and all the saints. And again, it's attacking, it's defiling something sacred. Mm-hmm. And when you defile something sacred, you're only messing with yourself. Part of that is like, thou shalt not, you know, honor your father and mother. Mm-hmm. When you dishonor them, you dishonor yourself. And I like the last sentence. It is also blasphemous to make use of God's name to cover up criminal practices, yeah, and to reduce people to servitude, to torture persons, to put them to death, to misuse God's name, to commit a crime, or can provoke others to repudiate religion. When you, again, in the name of God, you know, like what went on in South America, or some of these cults. Mm.
Jim Jones,
yeah, all of that. Jesus told me, or like David Koresh, mm-hmm, when he comes out and says, I just talked to God, and he said I need 30 wives or something.
Yeah.
Well, either he's lying or he has been approached by a demon.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things, but he's justifying it. And what that does is it scandalizes the faithful. Well, either he's lying or he's not. And mm-hmm, I want to be faithful to God. But he said God said this was okay. You hear that a lot with cults.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say, I escaped the cult. They'll say that this was done to me. And the perpetrator will tell the victim, well, God told me this was okay. Mm-hmm. He told me you were special. Using God's name to abuse a child. Talk about bringing curses.
Mm-hmm.
You are messing with the divine, and he does not respond. But it also, you know, I don't know if you're watching any of those videos. There's a lady out there, young, pretty blonde girl, actually was raised in the Mormon faith, went to Brigham Young, went on mission, and she started digging into Mormonism, the Church, mm-hmm, of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Totally scandalized, found out it was all just made up.
Yeah.
Just found out it was, and now she's an atheist.
Huh.
And now, because
she went that far.
Was totally in, mm-hmm, to the point of being, because most Mormon missionaries are men.
Yeah.
She was a female, and I've never actually heard of that. And she's been telling all their secrets online.
Mm-hmm.
Telling all, you know, she was consecrated in the temple with her husband. And she showed how they put all this strange underwear on and make these strange handshakes and... She goes, we were told this was the most secret, most awesome, sacred thing. And she found out it's just empty.
Mm-hmm.
It was just keeping up a facade. You know, the curtain, mm-hmm, came down. Well, now she's gone all the way to the other side, atheist. Now, God may be working in her life.
Because,
mm-hmm, one of the things she always criticizes the Mormon faith, I wish I knew her name and I could plug her, but
yeah,
you probably look that up on the internet too. She always talks about how the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints criticized Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
We were always told the Catholics were this and that, and I found out they were lying to me. I was like, that's right, they were lying to you. But we lost. They throw out all of religion.
Yeah.
They throw out all of religion.
It's interesting, though, that she went, like I said, that she went that far to, as she started peeling the onion back and realized that the falseness behind it, but didn't find the actual truth in Christianity itself.
Yeah, so they mistrust authority.
Yeah.
They start not trusting anyone. I mean, I think, like, when people, sometimes they leave the Catholic faith, they go to a Protestant church,
mm-hmm,
and then are scandalized there, and they go to a non-denominational church. And what's the next step after non-denominational church? Nothing.
Nothing.
They become nothing.
Yeah.
Because now in... To there, you know, you don't just get them off the hook. Why did you leave the Catholic faith? Well, some priest told me something.
Yeah.
Well, is that a really good reason? You know, is that a really good reason? Well, they were scandalized.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, people told them things, and they realized the leaders were not living up to it, that they didn't believe it, that they didn't believe it. And so that's what we call scandal is a powerful term, a scandalo. You know, that means, mm-hmm, a roadblock. Jesus said that to Peter, you are a hindrance to me, but in Greek it's a scandalo. Huh. You are a roadblock to me. And when we sin, we really do throw a roadblock between people and God.
Hmm.
because they see us in the place of God mm-hmm. when we let them down.
And that's really what this repudiate religion. That's really what this is driving at.
Yeah. They repudiate all religion. Yeah. There it is. That's what she did.
Yeah.
Blasphemy is contrary to the respect due God and His holy name. It is in itself a grave sin. Because fear of the Lord is recognizing in awe of Him. You know, we start out, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Uh-huh.
But it's not the end of it. It's not the end of it. If I start cursing God, that means I have no fear of God. Hmm. Either I have no fear of God, or I think I'm better than God, or I hate Him. And that's blasphemy. Yeah. Most of the time people blaspheme, they don't think nothing's really going to happen to them.
Right.
Have you ever seen I'll go back to this because we're going to watch it in my demonology class.
Okay.
Nefarious?
Yeah.
You've ever seen that?
Yes.
So,
great movie.
I went to that movie. A couple invited me. And I wasn't quite, I thought they invited me to like a some kind of horror flick.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, it's a great movie. And I knew immediately, this is a demon movie. You brought me to a demon movie. This guy's possessed. I could tell right away that guy's possessed. So with that psychologist, remember there was that one scene. Mm-hmm. Now, we were in there with a bunch of people. Not a bunch of people, but there were some African-Americans in there. I don't know if you've ever gone to a movie with African-Americans. Black people, they talk to the screen. They do. They yell at the screen. Anyway, there's that part where the psychiatrist goes, you know what? I give you full permission to go ahead and possess me. And everybody starts screaming, no, man. Are you crazy? You're out of your mind. I mean, everybody's screaming at the screen because he just said with his mouth,
yeah,
I don't believe this.
Yeah,
I don't believe this. Go ahead. Go ahead. When you invite that, then the evil one cannot resist. Mm-hmm. He cannot resist. And you saw the look on, you know, demoniac's face is like this. He goes, don't mock. We got what we needed.
Yeah.
And that manifests itself later on in the movie.
Right, right.
It manifests. He goes, we got what
don't
we
spoil,
needed.
Don't spoil the ending.
You know, it manifests it.
But that makes me think about, you know, another movie reference. To one of the early Batman movies, and I think it was Jack Nicholson's portrayal of the Joker, and a comment about, and I'm going to misquote it, so just paraphrasing, do you ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? And it's that same kind of invitation, and that may not be the exact quote, but the similarity
is, the devil, you're going to get burned.
Yeah.
And
and in making these kinds of promises and blaspheming is really kind
and really
of
that's another aspect, because one of the things in the rite of exorcism, one of the ways you know is one of the essence that this person does have some kind of demonic infestation or oppression is they curse God.
Mm.
They call the Blessed Mother terrible names, mm-hmm. stuff that it's meant to scandalize you, push you away, say stop doing that, and that empowers them. It empowers them. All of a sudden, they feel strong. Look at me. I'm attacking.
They're empowered by the reaction, the repulsion that we get from that use of that?
They're empowered that they can get away with it. They're empowered that they're doing it. Mm. You know, when a man, one of the things when this happens in marriage, when oftentimes when a couple is suffering from adultery, they've experienced adultery, the perpetrator will say, so what were you thinking when you were seeing this woman? The fact that we were doing something that was forbidden was exciting. Hmm. We got excited about the secrecy. It was exciting. We were doing something taboo. Well, that gives you a little thrill.
Hmm.
They were pushing against our oppressors. People make this rule, and I'm gonna defile it. They're very empowering.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie, and it'll ultimately be to your demise. Mm-hmm. But there is something. Yeah, that's whenever you curse and think you become your own God,
mm-hmm.
that you can have the power now to curse God, and they know that it insults all these puritanical Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They like that. They like that. So, you know, you go to some of these again, some of these alphabet protests. They're holding up signs that just blaspheme, especially I saw something once. Oh my gosh, about the Blessed Mother and about abortion and you're like, and they're just laughing.
Mm-hmm.
They're just laughing. It's demonic. It's blasphemous.
I think we're going to see some more reports of things like that. That we always see them following the March for Life, which was a couple weekends ago.
Yeah,
and I've seen some.
Well, that's one of the things that they mock the sacred.
Yeah.
They mock the sacred, and they know they get a power. And they never do that to religions like Islam,
mm-mm,
because that'll get you killed.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm,
they know Christians are not going to, right away, any movie, I always tell people whenever I see a movie with a nun in it, it usually has some kind of demonic nun.
Yeah.
And they know they can get away with that.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that to Jewish people, mm-hmm, rabbis, imams. No, they're not going to do that. Because they resent restrictions. I mean, that's one of the things that people resent about the Catholic faith,
uh-huh,
is the Catholic Church has precepts, expectations of what can go on in your bedroom. People don't like that.
That's right.
They don't like that. And so when they feel repressed and what they want to do, they want to rebel against their oppressors, what they perceive as oppressors.
Yeah.
And when you can do that with your tongue and just stop saying that, when you find out, little kids, when they find out where your parents' goat is tied,
mm-hmm,
they use that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll use that until later when they grow up and say, I can't believe I said that. Yeah. I can't believe I said that. My tongue, that came out of my mouth. I was watching Dr. Phil once. You'll like this.
Okay.
And it was teenage. They always have teenagers on it. I don't know if Dr. Phil's even on TV anymore.
I don't either.
I don't have TV. But every once in a while, I have a, parents are struggling with a teenager,
mm-hmm,
and who's being disrespectful, outlandish. But every once in a while, mama will record the fight. Mama will record the, mm-hmm, encounter. And I was watching this one time with that teenage girl, and they started playing what she was saying to her mother.
Mm.
And the girl broke down crying. She was like, that's me? Yes, that's you. She couldn't believe she was saying that.
Wow.
She had to hear it, though. And it totally destroyed her. Now,
it's interesting.
That's lucky for her, because you and I will get that at the end of our life, yeah, at our judgment. Yeah. All of a sudden, there's going to be this video, and I did that.
Wow.
I did that. You're kidding. That wasn't me. You're right.
You're right.
That wasn't me. I can't believe. And the full effect of our words will see the ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
Even telling dirty jokes and telling dirty jokes about women. And
I want to pause right there.
Okay.
We're going to run out of time here week. So we'll have to pick this up and finish up our second commandment here. Get into the oaths and stuff. I'd like to, if you wouldn't mind, just kind of leave us with a blessing for this.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, I've enjoyed all of this, and hopefully this gets people interested in just starting with the Ten Commandments and 100 pages of that. So, and may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
Thanks, Father.
All right.
We'll see y'all next week.
Okay.